We got something special for you. And the rest of us, grab your Bibles, book of Exodus. We're flying along in Exodus this morning. All right. In Exodus chapter 17, they've been wandering, and they've been coming down through, and we start talking about what the Lord has been doing. And the Lord's been working these things out. So the surprise comes is they come in, and they've been settled in. They've learned some lessons along the way about trusting the Lord. Learned about the internal battles of really trusting Him as we lay these things out. The other one comes in that we started dealing with enemies. And we talked about last week, the enemies that were without. Now in our lives, we have, if you think about it, there's a lot of battles going on. And so without the Lord being on our side, we would crumble and fall. Yet because we have the Lord, and He strengthened us through all of this, that in here we can have victory. And what a blessing that is, that we can have victory in the Lord. And so we started talking about this, and the first part of chapter 17 is that we have this as they settle in, Jethro, who is Moses' father-in-law, when Moses left, he came down to Egypt and said, let my people go, went through all of that. He left his children and his wife behind. He left them with Jethro, his father-in-law, left them in good hands. Well, now they kind of come back, and Jethro's kind of like, well, now it's time for you to take your kids back, right? I think it's a typical grandparent thing, right? I've had the kids for a little while. It's time for me to give them back. And he turns around and he does this, and in here he sits down and has a wonderful conversation with Jethro. This is actually chapter 18. And so the first part of this is Jethro brings his Moses' wife and brings his kids back. And in here, Moses goes down through and we see this respect that he has for his father-in-law. And as he starts laying these things out, that it becomes very clear that Moses, one, has a deep respect for Jethro. Jethro is a priest who serves the true God. And we see this laid out. And in here, they rejoice together over what the Lord has done, how the Lord has brought them through. So after they give out all this advice, Jethro turns around and says, look, let me just follow you around for a little bit. Let me follow you around. And so he sees sort of what Moses has done. In Exodus chapter 18, 17 through 21, says, so Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. What Moses was doing, and Jethro watched this, is that Moses would go out to the people, and every day, everyone would come to Moses with their problems. Right? How would you like to have that job? And in here, they'd ask Moses to judge of what they should do. Well, at this point, we have thousands of people. Some people estimate there's up to 1 million people. And it all come back on Moses. And Jethro seen Moses just from the morning till night dealing with all the issues of the people. And Jethro turns around and says, look, this isn't right. The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear themselves out. For this thing is too much for you, and you are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. As we turn around and we look at this, that we get overloaded. Have you ever been overloaded? Let me ask. Put your hand up. I'm serious. Have you ever been overloaded? Too much on your plate? How do we deal with that? Have you ever had anyone tell you what they think you should do? How many of you guys have a professional advisor in your life? Whether I'm not saying you pay them, but they think it's their job to help you out. Have you had one of those people in your lives? All right, I see your hand waving up and down. You're full board on this, right? And people are always willing to give advice. Now, sometimes in our lives, we need to accept advice. Sometimes, should we always do what everyone asks us to do? Yes? Yes? No, that's my wife. No. Should I take that personal? No. Marriage counseling on Thursday, I guess. But we look at this and how it really plays out. How do we know to seek counsel? And how to do that? The first thing I want to tell you, if you accept counsel, first of all, make sure it is godly counsel. It's godly counsel. Listen to someone that you know is walking with the Lord, knowing someone who not only hears these things, but then does them in their life. Right? There's a lot of people who are more than willing to give us advice who don't follow a lick of it themselves. Years ago, we were in a church, and we had a lady who belonged to the church, and she worked with DHS, and her job was to go in and tell people how to raise their kids, right? And there's a lot of families that need help. I'm not talking negative against that, but she had the world's worst brat you've ever met, you know? And you talk to her, and she goes, well, you know, I've been trained. I've gone to school. But her own kid was a mess. You know, if I was going to seek out advice on raising children, you know what? She's not the person I would go to. She wasn't following herself. So ask yourself, in my life, because there are times that I need advice. There are times that I need counsel. Moses was in a place here where Jethro gave him advice. But he qualified for that because he was a godly man who loved the Lord, and his perspective was what God wanted. So ask yourself, the person who's giving me advice, or the person I want to seek out advice from, are they a godly person? Are they going to give me godly advice? There's a lot of people who will give you a lot of worldly advice, but are they giving me godly advice? Right? I knew a couple that was going through some issues, and I was talking to the wife, and she was getting advice from a lot of her friends on what to do. And they were all telling her, dump the bum, right? Dump him and go find yourself someone else. While you're young. You don't want to wait till you're too old because then it's a lot harder to get a husband later on. So dump him while you're young and go on. And she came to me and she goes, look, she's getting all this advice. And I'm like, is that what the Bible says? And she's like, well, no. Divorce should always be a last option, not the first. Right? Listen to godly advice, godly counsel. All right? Psalms tells us, Proverbs tells us, the next slide, please, that in here it says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. But he, the companion, you're on the wrong slide, Mark. There you go. But he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. You know what? If I want to be wise, I hang out with wise people. Not wise guys. That's a whole different sermon. But I want to hang out with wise people. If I want to be successful in my marriage, I should hang out with people who have been married successfully for a long time. Right? We tend to reflect the friends we're around. And if we hang out with those who are doing the wrong things, who their own lives are falling apart, and guess what's going to happen in my life if I follow suit? This seems like it should be a common sense thing, but we live in a world of Facebook where people are always willing to give advice on things, encourage people. I always kind of joke around, you know, imagine someone sitting at the computer on Facebook and saying, hey, I'm thinking about cutting off my ear. You know, it's the fashion trend now. You know, someone's going to cut off my right ear. I guarantee you, if you put that on your Facebook, there's going to be at least one person that says, you know what? You could pull that look off. You could do that. Oh, that'd be wonderful. Right? There's always people who are willing to give advice that isn't prudent, that isn't wise. So the best thing you can do in your life is hang out with people that you want to be like. You want to be wise? Hang out with wise people. You want to be godly? Hang out with godly people. If you don't, then hang out with whoever you want. But you will be, and here it says they'll be destroyed. And the devastation will be great, and it will be strong. Back in Exodus, go ahead, next slide, please, Mark. I don't know why that's acting up like that. All right. It says, continues on. He says, stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which you must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over to be rulers of thousands and hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of ten. You know, it's interesting because when he looks at the situation here, he says, look, this is too much for you. Moses, you're getting overloaded. And because of that overload, you're not making good choices. Right? If you have a moment where you don't even have 2 seconds to think about something, chances are you're not going to make the best choices. And Jethro, being on the outside, is able to look in and says, look, here's what you need to do. And he comes up with a very simple solution. He goes, look, first of all, teach people about the Lord. Right? Teach them about the statutes. Teach them what God wants them to do. And that will rule out some of the things because the people for themselves will be able to discern. Right? They won't have to go to you if this is right or wrong. They'll know it because you've taught them. The second thing is, look, find godly men and divide the people up. We see this today sort of carried out with the church. The pastor is not the pastor's job to do everything. We can get overloaded. But find men. We have deacons. We have trustees. We have those that can carry on those responsibilities and carry it out. That it will lighten the load along the way. Jethro gives some very good, solid advice. Right? Who do we listen to? Next slide. Listen to men who live a godly example for themselves. Maybe. Who live godly examples for themselves. Doesn't that make sense? Now, who are people who are living it out themselves? Jethro was living this all out. And like I said, we live in a day and age where so many people are so willing to give advice that they don't even follow themselves. Be careful of that. All right? Find people who have expertise. Right? Who are people who have been down the road? Right? If I'm going to seek advice on how to be married, should I go to a single person who's never been married? No. Right? I think some of the best advice, and I say that in air quotes, some of the best advice I've had about being a parent are from people who don't have kids. Right? Now, I shared, it was last week, the week before, but I was talking to a lady who was having an issue with some kids across the table. And she was like, she looked at, and she didn't have any kids. She looked across, and the kids were on the table, and over the table, under the table. And she's like, well, I have kids. My kids will never be that way. Well, it's easy to say that when you don't have them. Right? And this is where it's interesting because in our society today, what we've done is we sort of cast off. If you're not my age, I've kind of written you off. And I think a lot of our young people get themselves in a whole lot of trouble because what they're doing is seeking out those who are in their same level, in the same place, seeking out advice. You know, the best sources of advice is those who have been there, done that, and survived. You know, if I'm struggling with my teenager, I can talk to some of you who have been through that. And what's necessary is for you guys to be, you know, I've been through it, be honest. To be honest, you know what? My kid was rebellious. And this is what I did. Oh, wow. Tell me more. How did you do that? You know, if I'm going through marital problems, to talk to someone who's been married for a long time. Because they'll tell you that, you know what, we've had hard times along the way. But we've gotten through it. We've gotten on the other side. Those are the type of advice that I need. I need those who have examples, who live it all out. Right? Who are those who have the expertise in all of this? You know, if I want to learn how to run an auction, right? Who am I going to go to? I'd go to Mark over here. Right? Zach has more experience than I do and all that, right? How do I know? You guys have done it. You've done it successfully. If I want to know how to do it, I should go to you. Right? And I'm not going to call the pastor down the road and say, hey, I'm thinking about getting an auctioning. What should I do? Oh, let me tell you. You don't know. You want someone who has expertise in it. The next thing we see is someone who has your best interest in heart. You want someone who is going to watch out what is best for you. And truly, the best thing for you is to get closer to the Lord. So you want someone who's going to come in here and tell you how to bring you up and be closer to the Lord. Because there's a lot of advice out there from people who really don't care about you. And they don't look down the road and what are the ramifications for what you're going to do. So that's the root of really bad advice. Now, I was thinking about this and how this kind of plays out, because a lot of people, okay, here's an expert. You know, here's someone who's been in my shoes. But if they don't have my best intentions in heart, I need to be careful. Bring up the next slide there, Mark, if you can. Now, I was thinking about how this plays out. Now, this is not a political statement. But here are two people who, on paper, look a lot alike. They have a lot of similarities. They're about the same age. They both work in the same town. Right? They have a lot. I'm getting these look like I shouldn't do this. But here are two people. Doesn't matter what side of the political aisle you are. And I've noticed that over, especially we're in election year, a lot of them have given advice to each other. But you know what? I don't think either has the best intention for the other person. Right? My advice would be for either one not to listen to the other one. Because even though, look, they've been there, done that, even though they have a lot of other things in common, at the end of the day, they don't have the best interests of the person involved. And I just say that to bring it up, that in our lives, when we listen to people, when we're heeding out their advice, really gauge yourself. Because I've known a lot of people, you know, you can put up the next slide, we can take that off. But in our lives, especially as pastor, when people say, hey, pastor, can I talk to you? A lot of times what happens, I'm sort of the last resort. And what happens is a lot of people have listened to a lot of bad advice to get where they are. And can I tell you something? You know, Google doesn't always pop up the best answer. Social media does not always lead to the best conclusion in people's lives. And sometimes it is necessary for us to get that outside perspective. Moses thought he was doing the right thing. You know, I'm doing all I can. The people are coming to me, so I'm ministering to them. I'm trying to do all these things. But he became so overloaded. And Jethro had to come in from the outside and give advice. And it's really to our benefit to listen to advice, but listen to good advice, godly advice, advice that will help us along the way. So the question is, you know, okay, I've gotten advice, right? But pastor, I'm overloaded. I'm overloaded in life. I have just too much on my plate. I got too much going on. I'm being pulled in every direction I can. And do you have any advice for me? The first thing I want you to do is consider one thing, that this is all God's work. This is God doing things. All right? It's not my work. It's God's. And what that kind of does is let the pressure valve off. You know, I'm going through this passage because I've been told, pastor, you kind of do too much. You know, pastor, you're too whatever. And so reading this, I was like, trying not to make this very personal in my life because I don't want it. I want to talk about you, not me. But I get overloaded. And in here, I often wonder, oh no, what if I drop the ball? What if I can't do it all? And I need to remind myself, you know what, it's God's work. I'm just his servant. He's the one who's responsible. And in our lives, all we can do is what we can do. And God's going to do his work. And sometimes by me taking so much on, what happens is I don't let God have his perfect work in other people's lives. That in our lives we need to remember we're not God. Because some of the pressures we have in our lives are other people's problems. Right? Have you ever had people come and they kind of expect you to pick up all their pieces? Right? Make this better. You know, I've done this and done this and done this, and look at all the deep hole I'm in, and now get me out. You know what? It's not my job to change people. God needs to do that. It's not my job to do it all, to make everything all better. And some of us are more prone to that than others. You know, I were newly married, and my wife would share what was going on in her life, and I would just say, oh, well, do this and this and this. And finally, we were married a couple of years, and she looked at me and she goes, John, I'm not asking you to fix it. I just want you to listen, right? Because some of us are more fixers. Oh, this is a solution. This is what you need to do. Blah, 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 blah. Well, wait, let God have his work. It's not up to us to fix everyone else. It's God's work. Ask yourself, is this for a season? Right? There are times in our life when we're crazier and busier than others. And sometimes it's just a season. You know, my heart goes out to new parents. You know, you bring this little bundle of joy home, and you don't sleep, and you chase this thing around for a while, right? But it's a crazy, hectic time, but it's only for a season. You know, maybe you're involved in making some plans, or maybe you have a sick relative, or maybe all these things are going on, and things are crazy for a while, but you know it's only going to be for a while, and that's normal. We go through periods of time where, you know what? I'm crunched, and I need to go, and I need to be busy, and this is going to be all-consuming, but it's only for a while. And then our prayer is, Lord, give me strength to get through this season of life. But what happens if we get loaded over and over and over, over our course, and there is no end, then that is where we burn out. Because we can do anything for a while. But it's when that while becomes always that we burn out. Right? So sometimes things might be intense for a while, but then they loosen up. Also, you got to ask yourself, is this a burden or is this a load? Is this a burden or this is a load? And actually, I pulled this picture up because I love this. Because have you ever had it along your life, you're doing everything you can, and then someone comes up and they're like, oh, you got one more thing. There's always that person in your life. This is all you can do, just one more thing. Or can I just tell you a little pet peeve of mine? Can I do that? Just between us? Drives me nuts when people come up and will say, you know what, it's just easier if you do it. Right? Have you ever had someone come up and say that? You know, I would do this, but you know, it's just easier if you do it. Wait a minute, yeah, because I'm doing it. You know what? It'd be easier for me if you did it. Right? But there's always that person who says, oh, well, while this is going on, all you have is one more thing. We were over visiting a couple, and the husband had come home from work, and he was sitting on the couch, and he was watching TV. Oh, come on in, sit down. And his wife was in the kitchen, and she's cooking, and she's making supper. She sticks her head out. She goes, I'll be out there in a minute. Meanwhile, the kids are kind of running around, and so the husband's on the couch and says, hey, honey, will you take care of the, you know, you give the kids, you want some juice, give them the juice. So she's like giving the kids juice, making supper, trying to set the table, doing all this. He's on the TV with the clicker. And so he's doing all this, and so finally he, you know, comes over, and the littlest comes over and goes, hey, honey, the kid needs a diaper change. You know, it's just easier if you do it. And she's in the kitchen going crazy, and he's sitting there with, and I just felt like saying, get off your butt. Can you say butt in church? I don't know. Get off your duff. get up. Right? She's overloaded. She's going down and she's doing all you can, and all you're doing is piling on. The Bible's clear. It's interesting. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, 5 through 2 through 5, it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will be having rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each shall bear his own load." Now, if you have the King James, it will use the word burden here twice. Actually, in the Greek, there are two different words. So a lot of your modern translations will use two different words, burdens versus loads. The Bible says we are commanded to bear one another's burdens. The word for burden here is an overbearing load when you're overloaded. Right? There are times in our lives when I'm just overwhelmed emotionally, physically, and things are just pressing in on me, and I'm just overwhelmed. And the Bible says as Christians, as a church, we should come alongside and help each other from the overload. Right? And some of you have gone through that. You know, maybe you got family situations where you just need some help. Right? And maybe it's for a season, and maybe it's a period of time, but this has become too much. It's the straw that breaks the camel's what? Back. And in this, we're called to come across. But in verse 5, he says, each one shall carry his own load. The word for load here is basically our everyday sort of responsibility. That in my life, as pastor, I have certain responsibilities that go with that position. As a husband, there are some natural responsibilities that happen because I have a family, right? As a father, there are certain responsibilities that I do to take care of my family. These are expected loads. And I don't care where you are in life, you have some responsibility that's put upon you that is a normal, natural thing. What he talks about here is that, look, there are people who confuse the two. There are people who want to take, you know, it's my responsibility that I want to paw that off on someone else. Right? For example, we're talking about in Sunday school that I was in a church and I got a phone call from a guy who says, "Hey, pastor, I have about 4 cords of wood I need to be brought into my house. Will you do that for me?" And I called him up. I said, "Well, look, you know, we can probably get a few guys together. What works best for you?" And I knew he had 2 sons. He had a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old living at home. I said, "Look, we can come over. What works best for you?" He goes, No. You don't understand. I have work. I have everything else. I don't want to do these things. I want you to do it." Well, then I asked, I said, "Well, you have 2 sons at home, full-grown men at home. I said, you know, can you line something up when they're available?" And they're like, "Well, one of them, I don't know what really he does all the time during the day. But the other one, he wants to be a professional video game player. So he spends all day in the basement playing video games." And I'm like, "Well, will they help us?" He goes, "No, they don't like to carry wood." "Do they like being warm?" And that's what actually I ended up telling them. I don't know if I finished the story in Sunday school. But I told them, I said, "Look, I would tell them to get off their duffs and carry the wood in. If you're living in the home, don't have a job, you can carry some wood in. And when you get cold, that's a pretty good incentive to carry some wood in." And the guy got mad at me because he goes, "Well, you know, it's the church's job to help take care of me. We're here to help with the overload, but you have a responsibility to carry your very own load." And so when you look at this idea of being overloaded, ask yourself, are all these other things that I'm doing, are they my responsibility? Are they things that go along with what I'm doing? Or am I overloaded? Is this stuff that's over and above? Because sometimes I do have responsibilities. I do have things I need to do. Just find it out, a load versus a burden. First thing, if you are truly overloaded, the first thing you need to do is lighten the load. Sit down and make your list of all the things that's important. Because I don't think God wants you to burn out. It's interesting that we have the tabernacle and we have those that served within the temple. God had a whole tribe of people dedicated to serve the temple. Right? It was spread out. God designed it that way. We look at the body of Christ, and within the body of Christ, that there are gifts and abilities that everyone has to lighten the load and not just to dump it on a few to overload. As in our lives, sometimes what are things that I can stop doing? What are some things that are doing that are extra that I need to do that? And how do you do that? Real quick. First one is to pray. And you may seem like that seems like a pretty simple thing. Pastor, the answer is always to pray. But it's really vital. God, what do you want me to do? James tells us that if any of us needs wisdom, ask of God. Right? If we have all these lists, we go to these lists and say, God, what is it that you really want me to do? And that prioritize all of those things. Pray. God, I want to do what you want me to do. And then what that does also is shift our perspective, because it shifts us from trying to please everyone. Well, I find a lot of times the people who are overloaded are the same people who are kind of people pleasers. Because I'm afraid to say no because I'm afraid of what they're going to say or what they're going to think. So I'll just keep taking more and more. Right? I once had a boss that said, if you ever want something done, just find someone who's already busy. Because they're active, right? Oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'll just do one more thing and one more thing. And all of a sudden, things get piled up, right? And some of you are, I'll put myself, because I have a hard time saying no. Oh, I'll do it. All right? You don't worry about it. You know, I'll just do it. I'll just add it to, no, that's all right. And then you end up with a lot more people who are saying, hey, look, here's something else that needs to do. And, oh, here's something else, and you do it. And all of a sudden, I'm under that strain. But pray, God. And then what that does is at the end of the day, instead of being bombarded with all the naysayers, you've asked yourself, God, have I done what you want me to do today? Have I done what you wanted me to do? And if so, then I've succeeded for the day. The goal isn't, have I done what everyone else wants me to do? Because that list will never go. I used to always say, the only thing bigger than my to-do list is my should-have-done list. But at the end of the day, Lord, have I done what you wanted me to do? Are you pleased with me? My wife puts it wonderfully. She always says she plays to an audience of one. And I like that. Lord, are you pleased with me? Am I doing things right in your eyes? And then that way, let the voices of the crowd and the voices of the critics fade off. Second thing, priorities. What are my priorities? Because sometimes we're so busy doing a lot of the small stuff that we find ourselves not capable of doing the big stuff. Right? It's the big stuff that will drive us nuts as we try to cram them in. Set your life priorities. What are my main responsibilities, God? Husband, wife, pastor, wherever you're. Then some of these other things need to go off. Because you can get busier and busier and busier, and you can run and you can do and we can go. And our society is so wild. It's interesting because, you know, we have all these modern conveniences, and all it does is make it so we can do more stuff in a day. Right? I remember my mom sending across, she had one full day of laundry. Don't talk to me, I have my laundry day. You know? And that was back, I remember my mom having an old, a wringer. Does anyone remember the old tubs? And you ran through and hanging out the clotheslines up. It was a whole day event. But now we're so fast forward that we can load the washer and now run out the door and do something else. We start bombarding ourselves and cramming ourselves in. That the more convenient it becomes, the more stuff we cram in, the busier we become. Instead of saying, now priorities. What are the priorities in my life? And lastly, you know what? It's okay to ask for help from others. I can't do it all. That's what Jethro told Moses. Look, it's not good for you to do all this. Right? It's not good for you. You're going to burn out. Not only that, but there are other people who can help. And you're robbing them of the blessing of doing God's calling in their lives. That's okay. You know, sometimes we're motivated because I'm a perfectionist and no one else can do it as good as me. Let some of that go. Don't let perfectionism drive you to the early grave. And there are some people who just would never ask, I'll do it, I'll just do it, I'll just do it. It's once been said, especially in the light of the church, that 10% of the congregation does 90% of the work. God didn't design it that way. That in here, if we all pitch in and do our part, you know, I think of the congregation and, you know, and you say, well, Pastor, I can't preach. Well, I don't know if I can either, but you know, I can't do this, or I can't do nursery, or I can't do, we tend to look at some of these big things, well, I can't do that, but there's so much that can be done. You know, I one of the amazing things that I think we have a potluck, we've been running a nonstop potluck for, what, almost like 2 years, and everyone just kind of pitches in. You know, say, well, someone who cooks. Well, good. Well, bring a thing of coffee, you know. Help provide or do something. We all can pitch in. If you go down through, you see a light bulb, I'll say, hey, you know what? Hey, can I change the light bulb? Hey, can I talk to someone? Can I pray for someone? Oh, I noticed someone wasn't here. Can I call them this week? But what happens is within a church, a lot of it comes down to, well, the pastor, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, instead of keeping it on. And we do that in our own lives. Right? And there, you can get so bombarded and so consumed in your own life that, you know what? It's okay to say, I need some help. And Lord, I need you to help me out in these things. You know, especially if it's a season in our lives, we look at some of you are dealing with sicknesses and some of you are dealing with children and some of these things in here that you're just overloaded. That God has brought together a family, a body to help along the way. So in this, the deal with overload, and this is just a wonderful lesson if you go down through, Moses implements this. And what that does is free Moses up. And in here, it gets more people involved, more people have skin in the game, if you will. And in here, through the end of the day, more people are blessed as the burden is lightened up across the board. What a wonderful example this is in our lives. Because I don't think God wants you to be burnt out. I don't think God wants you to be overloaded. But in here, take our responsibilities. Do what we need to do. God, am I doing what you want? Then in here, Lord, send across others who are willing to help along the way. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We live in a day and age of so many people who are just burning out. And part of that is, Lord, we're taking on more and more, Lord, you haven't asked us to do. Lord, some of it is the world's expectation. Some of it is our own obligation that we feel. But, Lord, at the end of the day, Lord, we need to do what you want. Or we need to take our cues from you, Lord. And as we look at this, free us, truly free us. Give us peace. Give us your grace. And Lord, in this, give us your rest. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.